Good morning, everyone. Today's talk is entitled The Light of Life. The Light of Life. We've all heard most of this before, but we're going to hear it again. The light of life is the spiritual life that Jesus brought into the world concerning God's wonderful plan of salvation for men. It is the truth that Jesus said would make us free, free from the law of sin and death, under which all men are born into this world. As Jesus also says in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whoso believeth on me should not abide in darkness, spiritual darkness, that is, that still covers the earth in gross darkness to people, as Isaiah 60 says. In this connection, we also read in John 8:31-33, where Jesus told certain Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, or as the RSV gives it, is the slave of sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Sin, therefore, is represented in the Bible as a cruel taskmaster who enslaves his victim by his deceitfulness and finally pays them off with death. And it is in contrast to this that Jesus appeals to men. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sin will promise anything to get men in its powers, and then keeps on promising without ever satisfying anyone. Because promise is all it can do. But most people do not discover this until it's too late. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become servants of righteousness. What fruit had ye been in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is responsible for all of the world's troubles, including the fact that even the good must suffer and die. This seems to be necessary in order that eternal life may be a matter of faith in the Word of God rather than of sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7. And not only that, but our faith in God and His Word must be tried and proved. Sin apparently had to be made possible for men for a time in order that those who loved God and served Him may do so in their own free will, and not because they had to. But immortal sinners, in God's universe of law and order, will be under unthinkable. Even in its present state of good and evil, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, as Paul wrote in Romans 8, waiting, as he says, to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, as God surely will not permit this to go on much longer. For we know that his purpose is to fill the earth with his glory, and not to permit men to destroy the earth completely. I am a light of the world, Jesus says in John 8:12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yet a little while in the light with you, he tells his listeners in John 12, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For ye that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And surely nothing is now plainer than that the world today does not know where it is going. Knowledge of material things have greatly increased in our time, but this cannot be said for the spiritual light that Jesus brought into the world. Instead, the most noticeable change of our time seemed to be in the direction of atheism, for which false teachings that have crept into the ecclesias are probably mostly to blame. So those words of Jesus could now apply to us as much as to those he first spoke to. Yet a little while is the light with you. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that we may be children of light. In view of the scarcity of the light today, there is another passage of Jesus for believers to keep in mind. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We may think that the little light is scarcely noticed by the world, but perhaps we should remember that the greater the darkness, the more noticeable a small light becomes. The world today thinks of itself as enlightened because of its increased knowledge concerning temporal things. And of course, there is nothing wrong with the kind of knowledge, this kind of knowledge, when put in its proper use. But the present world situation plainly shows that such temporal knowledge alone is not enough for men to live by. I am come that they might have life, said Jesus, and they might, and that they may have it more abundantly, but only his light of life can make that more abundantly life possible for men. Unfortunately, as the apostle wrote in John 1:5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, wrote the apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:18. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And it is the power of this eternal thing of God which are not seen. It is the eternal things of God which are not seen that Jesus has made known to us, and which alone, as Jesus said, can make us free. Modern science has become the god of our time. And its worship now by the whole world, because science too can deal only with the temporal things that are seen, and neither knows their nor claim to know any about those eternal things of God that are not seen. Scientists have, however, been able to confirm the statement in Hebrews 11:3, that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But that's as far, about as far as they can go. Physicians and surgeons now are able to help many people by physical means, but Jesus healed all manner of diseases instantly with a word, and did other things that many people still consider impossible. Some today believe in the possibility of men from outer space visiting the earth and flying saucers, and imagines all sorts of things as to what they might look like. But the possibility of powerful spiritual beings, such as the angels the Bible tells us about, being regular but unseen visitors to our earth, never even seemed to occur to them. Another strange thing is for men to make such desperate efforts to add a few more years to their present mortal life, and yet show so little interest in the light that Jesus brought to the world concerning a far better life. And not only has told us about it, but himself has proved it once for all by laying down his own life and taking it up again, his greatest miracle of all. Therefore doth my Father love me, he explained in John 10, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Paul asked King Agrippa during his trial. This is a question for everyone to ponder. The main reason many people doubt it is simply that they have never seen it happen. For with the natural man, seeing is believing. Thus people today believe many things because they have seen them, which only 100 years ago almost no one thought possible. On the other hand, countless millions have put their faith and wealth in. Worthless things because they were things they wanted to believe. As Jesus also told some of the leaders of the Jews, ye are of your fathers the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus has assured us, but my word shall not pass away. And as we have seen, he has promised us, if we continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One reason, no doubt, why some do not believe in is because they can see no great difference between believers and unbelievers. This is not merely because believers do not always live up to their high calling, but because faith, hope, and love are something within a man, and only God can see into a man's heart. Both unbelievers and believers have their troubles. Both get sick and in due time die, and neither are ever heard of from again. Believers admit that it doth not yet appear what ye shall be, as John wrote in 1 John 3. But we know, as he went on to say, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Those therefore who seriously believe in the Father and the Son, have this hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and find the inward peace that Jesus promised them. But because this too is something within that is not seen, the difference between believers and unbelievers must for the present be observed in their works, so we can see why Jesus told his followers, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." John 13. Another reason, no doubt, why more do not believe in the Bible today is that for nearly 2,000 years now, all further revelations from heaven seem to have ceased. And even believers must sometimes wonder about this. The early ecclesias we know received special gifts and Holy Spirits, and various signs were seen among them. But with the passing of the first generation, all this apparently came to an end. Angels doubtless are still visitors to the earth and play an important part in directing the affairs of men towards a predetermined end. Nevertheless, the light of life still shines in the darkness as brightly as it ever did for those who have an eye to see. In the first place, God has preserved for us in our millions of Bibles of today a complete record of His essential revelation to man, printed in almost every language of the world and now available to the people of just about every nation to read and study for themselves. Moreover, we today can compare those records with some 5,000 or 6,000 years of history and see for ourselves how those ancient records have stood the test of time. Not only that, but the people of the book through whom we received those records are still with us today, a living witness to the truth of those revelations. Even more so today than ever before, not only that, but every day now in our own homes, we get the daily news almost as soon as it happens of just how remarkable these ancient people is now fulfilling Bible prophecy. Thus in our time, the people of the book are bearing witness to each other as never before. And in spite of Israel's 7 times of punishment, we know that a great future still awaits them when their spiritual blindness is finally removed and God's sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. We might think more people would believe in God if miracles and special signs had continued to our time. But this is just the point we overlook, that God wants our faith to be based on His Word and not on signs. Miracles and signs were necessary when the Word was given to men to prove to them that they actually came from Him. But once the Word was given and confirmed by a special sign and put on record, there was no further need for this. For as the prophets themselves said, "When it come to pass, ye shall know that a prophet has been among you." And this, after all, is the most positive proof of all. When it comes to pass, for only God can foretell the future. In this connection, we also recall what we are told about doubting Thomas, as he is sometimes called, who, when he was told about the resurrection of Jesus, insisted that, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nail, and put my fingers in the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And then after 8 days, when given permission by Jesus to do what he had asked for, was finally convinced. But then Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This surely must have been intended for us as much as it was for Thomas." We can see, however, why the disciples of Jesus had to have absolute proof of his resurrection, for they were the ones who would have to testify to that fact with their lives. And we can be thankful that they were not satisfied with taking someone else's word for it, but instead, upon unmistakable proof, but insisted upon unmistakable proof. They knew Jesus intimately. They were there on the grounds where it all took place. They met and talked with Jesus on a number of occasions over a period of 40 days, during which, as Luke has told us in Acts, they received many infallible proofs. And if they were satisfied, we can be also. In conclusion, we have the advice from Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and ever, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, gifts and the Holy Spirit, according to his will. We'll have our memorial hymn.